All right, I hope everybody's having a really good day. We're going to pick up the study in the book of James, and we're going to pick it up with verse number 13, Lord willing, Lord helping me here. But before we get into it, I'd like to remind you that the book of James is doctrinally to a group of people that's going to be going through the time of Jacob's trouble. According to James 1, verse 1, it's to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. So I will try my best to make practical application. But for this particular study that we're doing in the book of James, I'm trying to make dispensational distinctions and practical applications as we go. I want the listener to understand that the book of James goes along with Hebrews through James. These epistles have a lot of passages that have doctrinal material that is not directly applied to those that are in the church age. One of these days, and preferably today, Lord willing, man, even so come Lord Jesus, the body of Christ is going to be pre-tribulationally raptured out. And then the part of the last part of Daniel's 70th week was placed on hold for the church age because the Jews rejected their Messiah. He came unto his own received him not. The Lord went to the cross. Thank the Lord for the cross. And in early Acts, he was offering them that kingdom that was prophesied. And then at the stoning of Stephen, they blasphemed the Holy Ghost. The Bible says Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost, and they rejected the Lord there, stoning him. And then the Lord went to the Gentiles, and so he's making up a Gentile bride as we speak. In one of these days, the Lord will call out the body of Christ, and then these epistles, Hebrews through Revelation, the doctrinal material in those books will be directly applied to those people that go through that time period. So I'm trying to give these delineations as we go through this book to try to eliminate some confusion. Some people, I realize, are dispensational believers, but there's a lot of people new to it. So when you read the book of James, you need to understand that if anything seems to contradict the Apostle Paul, it's not that the Bible has contradictions. We know that. But whenever you read verses like James chapter 2, verses 21 to 25, those verses do not contradict Paul. It's just that Pauline doctrine is different from other doctrines that are addressed to different groups of believers. So we need to make sure we know these things, and it helps the Bible. Really, it just opens the Bible. It makes it all a new book. I love right division. It's really helped me and gets a lot of chains off of you. And because a lot of times people who do not rightly divide, a lot of false teachers out there will teach false doctrine and put things on you that's not directly applied to you. For instance, one of the quickest ones we can go over is they had dietarial things back in the law that they couldn't do. For instance, they couldn't eat pork. And in the church age, you can eat anything you want to, just as long as you ask God to bless it. And it's, of course, we're not supposed to eat blood. But that's like I can eat bacon. I like to eat bacon just about every morning if I can. Lord willing, I try to eat some bacon. So thank God for that. I can eat these things. But I'm just showing you there's differences, and there's some mail that's directly applied to us in the church age, and then there's going to be mail that directly applies to people who are here after we're gone. So we're going to just jump into verse number 13 and see if we can get some blessings out of here. Verse 13 says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Now, in chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, James said that God gives wisdom liberally based on that believing remnant having faith in God's Word. since Israel's religious leaders, they don't do this. The wise man in the tribulation period is not found among Israel's religious leaders. You're gonna find out they do not have wisdom from above because they're not getting it from the Word of God. You know, the Lord Jesus told in His earthly ministry, He would tell those Sadducees and Pharisees often. I forget how many times He said the phrase, "Have you not read?" But He would say, "Have you not read?" And matter of fact, I might be able to look it up on my Bible software here. I just think that's very interesting to see how many times that phrase was there. But you need to know that it's important to know that you need to read your Bible. It's very, very important to read the Word of God daily. I know it's a simple thing, but anyway, for some reason I can't pull it up. But have you not read? I mean, they don't have it. You need to read and pray. Just keep things simple, but you get so much wisdom from your daily fellowship. They won't have it. Jesus said in Matthew 7:20, "By their fruits you shall know them." So James is saying here that Israel is going to recognize a wise man by his conversation or his lifestyle. Now you need to contrast that with church age doctrine. Yes, some people can have a good lifestyle, Christians, but Galatians 5. Tells you that the Christians can be operating by the flesh, be just as saved as you and I. Now that doesn't make it right. I'm just saying it can happen. But a lot of Christians, you know, look just like the lost world. As soon as you get out of your Bible and you stop doing those simple things, you stop praying, you stop fellowshipping with other believers, you'll get off the deep end, and before long you're working in the flesh, according to Galatians 5:19. But now in the dispensation to come, the delineation between the lost and the saved, there's going to be a clear cut line. Even now, like I said, some people, they're better off than me morally. I mean, way better person than I am. Lost as a ball in high weeds, man. They don't even trust the Lord Jesus Christ. They pay their bills. They go to work on time. They're a good dad, good husband, all this stuff. But you can do all those things and you will go to hell without Jesus Christ. Not to say that it's pure works in the tribulation, but what you're going to find out is there's a clear-cut line, though, because those in the tribulation, to keep from taking the mark of the beast, they're going to have to follow the Word of God and keep those commandments. And those commandments are going to keep them from taking that mark of the beast. So the Bible's giving them some definitions of wisdom here and how to look for it. But meekness of wisdom means that there's no pride involved with the works that the wise man's doing. So the wise man shows his faith by his works, according to chapter 2:18, and the lifestyle he's leading by obeying God's commandments in humbleness. So when that believing remnant there, those believers in the time of the tribulation, sees somebody behaving that way, they're going to know that he's speaking God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. So that's in contrast to a man who's letting his tongue lead his life. See, that's the thing. They're going to talk a big talk, and their tongue's going to be full of poison. So that man's going to be unwise. So it's full of poison, verse 8. And so they're going to be able to know how they're walking, how they're talking. It's going to be a clear-cut line there. Now, practically speaking, our speech should be with grace seasoned with salt, and we should be speaking in ways where men don't even have any evil thing to say. The Bible says in Titus 2:8, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That's what you should do, but that don't mean that you're lost. But you should do that. You should seek that God fill you and give you the ability to be able to speak in such a way, even though we fail Him sometimes. But we're looking at male here, where they, in that time period, can tell right then, hey, this is wisdom here that's not from above. Why? It's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. So you're going to be able to tell that. Now, in verse 14, it says, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts," that's where you have to guard your heart, "glory not and lie not against the truth." Now, this verse is what we see Christianity doing today. Not only know, if you know now that Christianity is doing it now, how much more are they going to be doing it in the Great Tribulation? So you're going to have apostate Israel that's fallen to Antichrist. They're going to have riches and power during the tribulation period. So if the believers, the believing Israel, the believing remnant, whoever's believing at that time period, wants to lay up treasures in earthly things rather than heavenly things, and that's what the Lord talked about in Matthew 6, 19 and 20, their heart will be on what the apostates of that nation and apostate people in that world has, and that's mentioned in Matthew 6, verse 21. So, if that's the case, the believers in that time period, you know how they're going to be able to tell it? They're going to be able to tell it by the bitter envying and the strife in their hearts. Oh, well, you see that now. You see all that bitterness and that envying in people's hearts. Now, you know what? The Bible teaches you over in the church age, Ephesians chapter 4, you're talking about something practical right here that apply to you. I can tell you something. Verse number 31 says, let all bitterness, not some of it, all of it, and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. See, that's for us too. We need to, you just balance it. Look at these things through Pauline lenses, and anything that doesn't match Paul, you don't have to take it for you today. But if it matches your epistles and your apostle, you need to take it for the day, and it'll be something to help you. It says, be put away from you with all malice. But all bitterness. You got all kind of people bitter about things today they shouldn't be bitter about. It's just a shame at some of the stuff people are bitter about. That's not going to make any difference in 100 years from now. What you're all bitter about now, is it going to matter in 100 years? Most 99.9% of it, absolutely not. And you just waste time being bitter like that. Hebrews 12:15, here's a contrast. Here's some mail. A lot of Hebrews is to a group that's going to be outside of this dispensation. But it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, I don't have to worry about failing of the grace of God. I'm in grace. The Lord saved me by grace. I'm in Him. I don't have to worry about that. But practically speaking, guess what? That root of bitterness is a root, and it starts off small, and it springs up. And one day you won't even realize that root's in it, a spring up there. And man, you're talking about, you wonder why you got so mad so fast. It's sprung up on you. It's been there for a long time. And guess what? It gives you a lot of trouble. But in the next dispensation, it's coming up after the rapture of the church. If they've got envy in their heart, that thing can spring up and trouble them. And before long, they can fail the grace of God. And I'll tell you this right here, they'll lose their holiness, lose their peace, according to Hebrews 12, verse 14. And they won't even be able to see the Lord, without which no man see the Lord. Why? Because whenever the Lord gets there, they won't be right with the Lord. That bitterness will literally lead them to taking the mark of the beast. And you have to watch it now, and they're going to have to watch it then. The Bible says, in verse number 14, in their hearts, strife in the hearts. You better be careful about that. So what you see is, they will then glory in the things of this world. They get to where you have to be careful about people glory always about things that's going on in the world. Worldly victories and worldly teams, all this stuff. That's like that Super Bowl. I'm not saying you're lost if you watched or anything. If I didn't watch it, but I'm not saying I'm any better just because I didn't, but I'm saying this right here. That's an ungodly mess you ever seen in your life. Years ago, I watched it back when I was in college and stuff, and we watched them halftime shows just full of ungodly mess. The commercials ungodly, and people just glory in worldly victories. Better be careful with that stuff. Why? Because you'll find yourself lining up with worldly views. and then you get in the stream of the world, it's hard to get out of that thing. Real, real hard to get out of that. But you know, in this next coming up dispensation, they'll be glorying those things of the world, and those things are not a God, and before long they're lying against the truth. That's what it'll set you. The more you join up with the world, and the more they join up with the world, they're going to be against the truth because the world's against the truth. You get in with the world, you're against the truth. So in other words, they would start using their tongue to preach the health and wealth gospel. You know, they're going to be getting up in the Antichrist line and get you healing and take your mark and get you healing, see, because it's going to be so much sickness goes on. The longer this world goes on, the more sickness is going to go on. Why? Because the more sin that goes on, the more sickness is going to go on. It comes up with those diseases that come up with sin. You look at a lot of these diseases like greed and things like that. It has to do with sin. And why? Because sin brought sickness into this world. And until the Lord has to come and cure the world of its sin sickness, you're just going to have more and more and more sickness. And they'll be preaching that health and wealth gospel with their tongue. Then they're going to fall into apostasy. And if they're going to have pride in their heart, and they'll join that false gospel, and then they'll be in right there with the apostate believers in that next dispensation. So that's what Christianity's done, the same thing today. A lot of professing Christianity has joined themselves to the world to gain the things of the world. They stop preaching the cross and godly living. And why? Because they know that godly living leads to persecution. All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. So Paul is warning that when men think that gain is godliness, they will use corrupt minds to dispute the things of God and twist them in such a way that gives them material wealth, 1 Timothy 6:5. That is why people who love money, it's not, money is not evil, it's the love of it. They get away from the truth, according to 1 Timothy 6:10. So in the tribulation period, the Antichrist and apostate Israel have great material wealth because they have done just that. That's exactly what they do. And so James is telling these believers, hey, if they're going to be seeking the things of the world, stop associating with the world. Stop associating the world with the truth of God's Word. Gain is not godliness. They need to get their hearts straight. They need to get their hearts right. In other words, they need to do what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7:5. He said, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So you need to get your heart right first. And so then he goes on to say, verse number 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Now that's sensual. That means given the pleasures of the senses. And so that's what's going on even today. So many people, they go by how they feel. And you can't do that. Well, your feelings would deceive you. They change too often. That's why you have to go by the facts of the Word of God, not the feelings of the world. So by seeking after the things of the world, these believers are the believers in Israel, especially there, which is things addressed to 12 tribes scattered abroad, is using earthly wisdom, not heavenly wisdom, because they're going after things of the world. And that's heaven. That's where you get the earthly wisdom from, the world. It's devilish, because Satan is the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4. And then what does it do? It creates envy and strife. Now, how does that apply to us today? Let's make a bridge here and show you. You know how you can tell carnality? According to 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1, you read in there and talk about the divisions and things. And then you get over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in verse 3 says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you believers, envying and strife and division. divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? You know, he's saying, you bunch of carnal rascals, you all you do is want to fight about this and fight about that, and you can't hardly get along. You don't have biblical unity. And so when you see, all you got to do is say, where's the carnality at? It's where envying and strife is. You see this envy and strife going on in the world today, you know what it is? You see a bunch of carnal babies. What you see. That's what the Bible says. So you get out here and you see some of these this family members do it, and they fight over a little of nothing, got all the blessings of God on their life and everything else out here fighting with each other about nothing. What's that? It's just carnal babies. Whenever you let things bother you that shouldn't bother you, that's carnality. You know what? If we were half as bothered over sin as we were over things whenever we just don't get our way, we'd be a whole lot better off spiritually. And you know what? It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. You wait till the church is out of here and you see so much envy and strife. You know what it does cause is confusion. Now, I think it's very interesting if you like numbers and things like that. Verse 16 that talks about this confusion. There's 13 words in that verse. That's rebellion. And then every evil work, that phrase has 13 letters in it. Now, I just think that stuff's neat, but I thought we'd just throw that in there for free. So what you have is you've got the God of this world, and he's wanting to create envying and strife because of what they call it. They call that the Hegelian dialectic, where you have two conflicting viewpoints and then a third viewpoint is offered. And so the devil always causes division, and then he'll come in and offer the answer. And it'll seem better, but really what it does is he gets his self inserted into that situation. And they've made a place for the devil. Why? Because of that bitterness. And the devil comes in there, that little snake that he is, and he weasels his way in there. And then once he's in there, he does all kinds of damage, and he can use the senses to get in there. The devil has to work from the outside in. It's earthly, sensual, and devilish. You see how he works? Now, and then that's why you have to be careful of these things. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 4, talks about how envy and strife comes from doting about questions and strifes of words. So devilish wisdom is nothing more than false doctrine. See those words, and false doctrine leads to every evil work. So if believing Israel, if they allow the devil to convince them to believe false doctrine, their works are also going to come from the devil, not from God. Meaning that they won't have the works that go with their faith, and they have to have the works that go with their faith according to chapter 2, verse 24. So also you'll see that every evil work phrase comes from the devil's wisdom. So you'll see also if you know these believers, if they're wanting to do good works, they need to get into God's Word and believe it rather than following after the things of the world. They're going to be in Satan's will. If you're following the things of the world, you're in the will of Satan. So that's what they need to make sure they're doing, following the wisdom that's from above, not the wisdom that's from below. So rather than following the things of the world and doing Satan's will, they need to do the will of God, which is to follow the Word of God. And that's what you need to do as well today. Also, you'll notice that when these believers, if they use earthly wisdom, there's confusion. Confusion is you follow that all through the Bible. You're talking about a study. Study confusion through the Bible. And it's true because they claim to be God's people and following God, but they speak things contrary to God's Word because they're using earthly wisdom in order to get riches and power in that kingdom that the Antichrist is going to have. So there's going to be all kind of confusion there. Look, lies end up causing confusion. The best thing to do is just tell the truth. And so even today, you get these pastors, you know, doting about questions and stripes of words. they get in here and they want to get in this. This word means this, and it really means that, and should have been translated this way. Better stay away from that stuff. You're going to get so confused that you don't even know which way's up. Best thing to do is say, "Hey, this is what the Bible says. I'm going to take the translation that God authored right here over your earthly wisdom and your earthly scholarship. I trust that God had this word preserved in His King James Bible, and I'm not going to put your opinion over what God's got preserved in His Word." So also, they read that they are to give as they purpose in their hearts. You know, if for us, We've got to make sure that we keep our heart right, and we study these things. But they don't accept that as true, because you think about some of these guys who doting about questions and strifes of words, and they don't write the divide. They'll say, the Old Testament said, if you don't give your tithe, you're robbing God. Well, Paul says you're supposed to give what you purpose in your heart. And believe it or not, a Christian's not limited to 10%. A Christian give all he wants to. I know people that give way over 10%. I'll tell you something, God blesses them. And I tell you this too. There's a similar thing about the tribulation period. The law tells Israel not to serve other gods or make images. But the religious Israel, they're going to tell them to bow down to the image of the beast. So how many is going to bow down? The people that are confused, they're not going to know anything about the Bible, so they're going to be confused. That's why you have to stick to the truth, rightly divide the truth. Why? Because a truth for somebody in a different dispensation may not be the same truth for you. If you get a pastor up there and he says, "You're going to rob God, you're cursed with a curse." The Lord Jesus Christ has already taken our curse for us, and I can give a whole bunch. Or hey, let's just say I get to the place where maybe I'm not right with God and I don't give anything. I'm still saved, and I'm not cursed either. But now, if you get over here in the tribulation period, these people need to make sure, hey, if the Bible says over there in the Old Testament, I don't need to bow down to other gods, and here's an idol up here, and I'm being told to bow to it, that sounds confusing right there. I need to make sure I'm going by the Bible. So what am I saying? Doctrinally speaking, they're going to know if there's confusion there. It's going to lead them to every evil work. Now, you know what you need to do? You need to make sure to eliminate confusion and eliminate every evil work by making sure that you know what applies to you today and applying it to your heart and life. If you got somebody that says, "Well, a little lie won't hurt, a little white lie don't hurt," well, the Bible says not to lie. The Bible says, you know, everybody's doing it. You know, Bible says I'm not supposed to follow the world into sin. Well, you know, it's all right on this right here. We really don't have to do this for the Lord because we got a good excuse. Yeah, but the Bible says sacrificing your bodies, present your bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. Look, all these people talking about dying for the Lord. I'd die for the Lord. I've heard people say half of them won't even live for the Lord. You need to live for the Lord while you've got this body. Look, one of these days you're going to be with the Lord, and as far as living for Him and suffering for Him, all that stuff's going to be done and over with. You got to do it now. What are you doing for the Lord Jesus Christ with what you have today? That's what counts. Why? Because time's running out. You're going to get to the place one of these days, and thank the Lord, it's going to be wonderful to be with the Lord. But at the same time, we need to serve Him with what we have right now. And I'll tell you something, it'll eliminate confusion in your life serving the Lord. It makes life so much simpler just to know, hey, I know what I'm supposed to do today. I'm supposed to get up this morning, love my Lord, serve my Lord, and do what His Word says. And you know what it does? It makes life way simpler. I don't have to figure out what my life's about and, you know, what are we here for and all this stuff. I'll tell you what we're here for. The Bible says you're here to please God. And you know what that does? That eliminates a lot of confusion in your life. Also, you're going to notice there, again, I need to make sure I emphasize this in verse number 15, how the devil works. He starts with your flesh earthly. It says the wisdom descendeth not from above, the Bible says, but is earthly. And then he gets down into your emotions. That's sensual. And what does he do? To control your spirit, devilish. Earthly, that's flesh. Sensual, that's your emotions. That's your soul, and it's connected to your emotions. And then to control your spirit, that's devilish. So you're going to contrast that with what we're going to read about God. God starts with your spirit by teaching you God's Word. And that you'll find that in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 to 14. And then what does that do? That strengthens the soul. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse number 16, maybe you may not be quite as familiar with that verse. Verse number 16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit, whereat in the inner man. It's about the inner man. See how God works? Which strengthens that soul there, causing your flesh to walk by the Spirit. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Why? He says your whole spirit and soul and body. The Lord starts off with your spirit first, and the devil starts off with earthly. He starts off with your flesh first. So that's why you need to be real careful about how you let things enter into your mind and heart. The devil will get in through your senses. So you need to make sure you guard those things. Now, let's see how much time we got. I think we're going to stop there, and then we'll start with this wisdom from above next time. I hope you have a good afternoon. God bless you.